Turning your Bibles to John 3:16. We know this verse by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I quoted King James. I think it's New King James on the screen. John 3:16 has long been celebrated as a powerful declaration of the gospel of Christ and of evangelism that we use to teach the gospel to a lost and dying world. It is such a powerful statement. It is powerful because it announces to the world the ultimate love of our God that he has for us. It is a message that is far-reaching. It is a statement that covers many areas that we sometimes may not think about. And that's like what I'd like for us to do for just a few minutes this afternoon, is to think about some of the things that this verse is actually telling us about God and about his love for us. First of all, I want to suggest to you that it does indeed tell us about God's love. You know, the object of God's love was the world. Now, God so loved the world. That's the first thing this verse says. But not the world that we often love. And you know, when we think about loving the world, we think about, for the most part, worldliness. The things that are in the world. Things that we appreciate. Things that we use. Things that we live by and live with every day of our lives. This is not the world that Jesus is talking about here when he says, for God so loved the world. You know, John tells us that we are not to love this world that we are a part of. In John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, someone who don't understand the language would read this verse and then read the verse of John 3:16 and say, we have a contradiction here. We are told not to love the world, but yet we see where God loved the world. But he's talking about two different things. We are not to love worldliness, the things of this world that can lead you astray, the things that can turn us away from God. You know, Jesus faced the temptation of the world that we read of in Matthew chapter 4. Satan appeared to him three times with three different temptations that were worldly. And the last one in particular, Satan tempted Jesus with the world itself and the glory of the world itself. He said, if you will fall down and worship me, I will give you the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them. And Jesus said no, because he knew that he was not to love that kind of world. Even though God loves the world. When God loves the world, his object of love is us. It's not this globe that we live on and the things that are in it. And you know, another thing that's interesting is God did not wait for the world or mankind to turn to him before he showed us his love. We go back to Genesis chapter 3 and we find that God loved the world so much that he introduced to us Jesus. This declares God's object to us is indeed love. We also learn about the gift of God's love. He gave something, and we can go back to the beginning of the Bible to find out what that something is. He gave us his own begotten Son. God didn't just feel for the fallen world when man brought sin into the world. God immediately did something about it. You know, when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, I don't think the first reaction of God was anger. Now, when we read the story in Genesis chapter 3, we do see the anger of God when man sinned. But I don't think that was the first reaction that God had. I think his first reaction was one of disappointment and sadness. Because you see, God had a relationship with man that was wonderful. We know that he walked in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden with man. And now that sin has entered into the world, he can't do that anymore. He can't be with man anymore because now man has sin. And the closeness that was between God and man has been lost. It's been taken away. And in Genesis 3, when God was punishing man for his sin, and again, he punished man immediately because of his sin, you also find him in the same passage of Scripture announcing the beginning of his plan to bring man back to him, to have a relationship with him once again. We can go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, and it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. He's talking to the devil now. And between your offspring and her offspring, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. God was sending something into this world, someone into this world, who was going to destroy Satan, who was going to bruise him and put an end to what he was trying to do to mankind. And of course, that precious thing he had to give was his only begotten son. Jesus came into this world to destroy Satan, to destroy sin, and to create a relationship again between God and man. So that's the gift of God's love, the Son of God. We also learn of who the recipients were of God's love. Now we get this from the part of the verse that says, whoever believe in him. That's part of the verse. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him is the recipient of God's word, of his love. God loves the world, but the world, for the most part, does not love God back. We need to learn to love God the way he loves us, because we are the recipient of God's love. That phrase, believes in, it means much more than just acknowledgement. It means just more of just having an intelligent awareness of the fact that God loves us. Because even the devils believe in God. It says in James 2 verse 19, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So this is not really what God is talking about. He's not talking about those who believe that God exists and they acknowledge his presence, because even the devil does that. He's talking about those who truly believe in him, those who trust in him, those who rely on him, those who cling to him. These are the recipients of God's love. Those who accept him for who he is, what he has done for us, what he is doing for us now, and what he intends to do for us when life is over. We are going to receive so much from God because of his love for us. So we learn that we are the ones who are going to receive from the love of God. We also learn that the intention of God's love. Why did he do all of this? Why did he say, I'm going to send my son? And you may bruise his heel, but he is going to bruise your head. Why did he do all of this? His intention was simple, that we should not perish. God's love actually saves man from eternal destruction. God looks down on his fallen creation, the creation that was his greatest on day six when he created man in his own image. He looks down at this wonderful creation. Now sin has entered into his wonderful creation. He does not want his wonderful creation to perish. So, because of his love, he extends a special gift for us. The gift of salvation. The fact that we can have our sin removed, that we can have that relationship with God once again, and it comes through his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, when God created man, he intended for him and man to have an eternal relationship. He intended to have a wonderful fellowship with mankind for all eternity. And even after sin entered into the world, God still had this intention. Now he's got to do something that will give that relationship back, that will bridge that gap that sin has created between God and man. That's why he sent Jesus, so that we should not perish. So now we know all about John 3:16. It's because of God's love. It's because he loved us to receive his love. And he intended for that love to last forever. Which brings us to the final point. And I want us to read this verse one more time. And I want you to listen very carefully to find out what I'm about to mention next. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, look at that last phrase. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know what God has done here? God has offered us love. God has offered us eternal life. But he did something else. He made it conditional. And what that means is, God has done all that God can do to save our souls. But we have to do something in order to accept it. He has made this conditional. He never said, whoever believes in him would not perish. That's not the word he used. Whoever believes in him should not perish. That means God has made it possible for us not to perish. But we have to choose ourselves whether we perish or not. It was conditional in the writing of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, there's the condition. God is not wanting us to die spiritually. He is not wanting us to perish. But there is something that we must do in order to keep from perishing. And that is, come to repentance. Peter said should. He made it conditional. Jesus made it conditional again in Mark 16 and verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He made it conditional. Yes, he wants us to believe. Yes, he wants us to obey. Yes, he wants us to go down into that watery grave of baptism and come out that new creature. But if we don't, we will not receive the gift that God so loved us to give to us. He made it conditional. Yes, God so loved this world, you and me. Yes, he gave his only begotten Son. Yes, he did it so that we can have eternal life. But in order for all of this to be true, we must accept him. We must obey him. We must live for him. Friend, are you ready to do that today? Are you ready today to accept God's love in what he did for us? Are you ready to come to him in faith? Are you ready to change your life by repenting of your sins, turning away from them and turning toward God? Are you ready to confess who Jesus was in God sending him and why he sent him. Are you ready to confess that? Are you ready to walk down into that watery grave of baptism knowing that Jesus went to the grave for you and came out of that grave for you? And because he did that, we can come out of the grave after our death and be with the Lord forever. Are you ready to do that? I hope so. Because God so loved you, he gave his son for you. And you need to have that kind of love for him. Erring child of God, you've walked away from him. You have left him. You've put the world in between him and you. Are you ready to come back to him? Are you ready to put the world aside and take him back again as your Lord, your King, your Savior? He loved you enough to send his Son for you so that you could do just this. Are you ready to do this and give your life back to him? My friends, the greatest thing that we could ever do for God is to show our love for him, because he showed his love for us. This afternoon, my friends, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song.